So the Medrash tells us when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, it was done by committee. He convened a committee to discuss the wisdom of creating Adam. In fact, the Chumash alludes to the fact that there was a decision done by committee, and that, you know, the Torah says Nasa Adam. The Gemara Megillah Daf Tes comments that it gave room for the Minim, for the Apikorsim, to have a Taina that there are Shtei Rishuyos. That Chas Shalom, as if there the God needs approval of other gods before making a decision. So the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi and Chumash writes, the lesson that hopefully you're up to that in Shnei Mekru, you'll get there soon. There's the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to convey. Is that we should always listen to opinions of other people. You should always take etza from other people, from those who are not as strong a voice, before you make a decision. Meaning you might have the strongest voice in the room that can carry the day and everyone's going to listen to you, but it's wise to listen to what other people have to say before you make a decision. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu set the model at the very beginning of the Chumash. The question, of course, is it worth it? Meaning, is that lesson worth the risk on the flip side of it? Right, the Gemara says this gives ammunition to apikorsim, or to people who maybe even are just unassuming and don't know any better, to make the mistake of thinking that there's shtei rishuyos, which is mamish apikorsis. That's terrible. So we're risking apikorsis so that you can learn this moral lesson. Couldn't we have tucked away this moral lesson somewhere else? The downside of apikorsis is a pretty serious downside. You know, couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu have taken this one on his own and at some later time, teach us the value of consulting other people? Furthermore, the Medrash elaborates that the Malachim split up into groups about whether man should or should not be created. Two sides of the aisle. One was vying to give man a place in creation, and the other one was pushing back. So MS argued that you cannot create man because kulo shkarim, man is full of lies. Chesed says, no, you got to create man because man does chesed. So what exactly is that conversation about? Is that true? Is it really true that man is kulo shkarim? Everything about man is fundamental dishonesty? Most people are fundamentally honest. You go over to somebody, you don't have your phone on you, you don't have a watch on you, say, what time is it? And the person looks at his watch, and he tells you what time it is. So do you say, stop lying to me? You know, like, you assume he's telling you the truth. I never met the guy. Why would I assume he's telling me the truth? Maybe he's trying to lie to me. No, you assume people tell you the truth. You wouldn't assume that someone's like lying to you. Man is fundamentally truthful. He's not fundamentally sheker. And also the argument that man is full of chesed, it doesn't really seem to address the claim. Meaning, he may be full of chesed, but he's also full of sheker. Those two don't conflict with each other. Now, it could be that the argument that he's got a lot of chesed is that even though he's got all these flaws, he also has these positive attributes, but it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like it's chesed and emes are pitted against each other somehow, and that chesed overpowers emes in some way, you know, overpowers sheker in some way. The Medrash says that chesed made its argument, and Hashem was hishlich emes arza. He threw emes to the ground. He rejected the claims of the Midas HaEmes. What's the response to the claim that man is kulo sheker that chesed was able to make? And finally, there's I gave a series of shiurim many years ago already, probably like 15 years ago, called By Way of Introduction. What I did was I gave every month, I think it was, learned through the Hakdama of a different Sefer, because I was very fascinated by Hakdamos of Svarim. I remember I was so proud of the series. I loved it. I loved learning through these Hakdamos, and I told Rav Shechter I'm giving a series of Shirim about Hakdamos of Svarim. He's like, why? Okay. He was going to be so proud, you know. So anyway, so the one of the more famous Hakdamos is the Hakdama of the Ketzos HaChoshen. The Ketzos discusses this Medrash, and he says that the primary claim of Emes was not that lying is too terrible a midah for man to exist with, but that the purpose of creation was to give us the Torah. You know, we just jumped up and down and saying Moshe Emes, Visaraso Emes. Torah is the ultimate Emes. So a Bria that's Kulo Shkarim could never successfully absorb Torah. It can't coexist with Torah because it's a Torah's emes. But then the question becomes even stronger. So what was the response of Chesed? Meaning, if it's taka true that we're kulo shkarim and sheker cannot coexist with Torah because Torah is Torah's emes, so then how does the fact that there's Chesed help, you know, overcome the lack of integrity and the deceitful nature of mankind? So Lekut Hashiva of Yerucham Olshin answers a bunch of these questions. He doesn't ask all of them, but he answers a bunch of these questions based on the Yisod that comes from the Altar von Kelim in the Sefer Chachma Musar. Sefer Chachma Musar wasn't written by the Altar himself, but the Altar Shmuzin were written up by Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitz, who's the famous Mashkiach of many yeshivas, but most famously of the Mir Yeshiva. So he put together, I think, the Chachma Musar, if I'm not mistaken. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos lists 48 Kinyanei Torah, right? The midos necessary to achieve in learning. And among the midos is Nose Ba'ol Im Chaveru, to appreciate the hardships that other people are going through, to not just appreciate, to feel it, to feel the hardships that other people are going through. It's interesting, Rav Schechter commented the other night that what we're feeling right now, the fact that we're all walking around in a fog and that we're not eating and we're not sleeping, many of us literally not eating today and fasting today and not sleeping and not functioning and not able to think about anything else, that's not really no say ba'ol, meaning, because when it comes to Eretz Yisrael is Klal Yisrael, meaning the Jews, as rise from the Rambam and other, that the Jews in Eretz Yisrael is the definition of Klal Yisrael. So just as a member of the broader community of Klal Yisrael, it's not them that I'm being no say ba'ol im chavero, it's that it's just Klal Yisrael. So it's me, it's us. It's not, there's not even like, no say ba'ol im chavero implies that it's a chavero, that it's a chavero that's outside of yourself. There's more than that. It's beyond no say ba'ol im chavero. But at the very least, you know, if what we're feeling, hopefully, is a sense of no say ba'ol im chavero. And that's one of the midos that you're kona Torah with. So the altar from Kelim asks, you know, no say ba'ol is a great midah, but l'chore has nothing to do with learning. Meaning, if you tell me that hasmada, that a good chavrusa, a connection to a rebbe, a mesorah in learning, that leads to success in learning, I'm maskim 100%. I could accept that. No se ba'ol? You know, it'll make you kind, empathetic, refined. How does that help you decipher tshuvas from kivayger? Because you know se ba'ol and chavera. So the altar explains that it's based on this yisod of the ksos, that Torah is absolute emes. And for a person to excel in Torah, he has to have a healthy relationship with MS. If a person doesn't have a healthy relationship with the MS, then he cannot excel in Torah. I'm reminded when I was in MTA, I had a math teacher, Rabbi Fine, who was a 12th grade honors shir Rebbe in the morning, and in the afternoon he taught math. And a kid once said, "Oh, Rabbi, I hate math." And he said, "Don't ever say that." "Why can't you ever say that?" He said, "Because if you hate math, you're going to hate Torah one day, because 2 plus 2 equals 4, and that's MS. That math is MS. You know, it all adds up. So if you don't have a healthy relationship with MS, you're not going to have a healthy relationship with Torah, because Torah is Torah's MS. So a person in general, the altar writes, has to have this a healthy relationship with MS. If a person has a loose relationship with MS, he's not going to have a positive relationship with Torah. So the altar writes that a self-absorbed person, someone who suffers from too much avas atzmo, has reached what he calls, in his lashon, tachlis koach hasheker. That a person who just sees inside of himself and doesn't see what's going on outside of himself, that's the tachlis koach hasheker. It's a very narrow view of the world. Translates all the events of the world through his own desires and his own interests. Tachlis koach hasheker, the worst kind of sheker. When somebody sees things through the eyes of others, when he's nosei balim chavero, then he can have a relationship with MS that's necessary to achieve in learning. Rav Schechter often points out that people who think of themselves too much often make the most absurd arguments to justify their behavior. And they think that it's true, but because they just don't have a good relationship with MS. The story was told that when the Panovich Rav was trying to build the yeshiva in Bnei Brak, it was not easy. In the post-Holocaust years, no one had any money. And he also decided to take upon himself the project of building an orphanage, because there was a lot of orphans after the Holocaust. And it was a seemingly impossible task to, how is he going to build an orphanage and a yeshiva at the same time? So his son asked him, you know, wouldn't it be wiser to focus on the yeshiva first, foundation of Torah, everything else is built on the foundation of Torah, set that foundation, lay that foundation, and then you'll be able to move on to other chasadim and other nice things like orphanages. So Panovich Rav said, Chazal tell us, Torah tchilaso gemilas chasadim v'sofo gemilas chasadim. If the yeshiva is going to be successful, it has to be built together with the orphanage. It has to be tchilaso gemilas chasadim v'sofo gemilas chasadim. So Rav Ruchem Olshan suggested that the Panovich Rav meant to say this exact idea. If you're engaged in helping others, in understanding what others are going through, and appreciating the suffering and life experiences of others, then you'll be more receptive to MS in all of its forms, especially in its most pristine form, which is the Torah. And based on that, we can answer all the questions we started with. Hashem wanted to incorporate in the creation of man the idea that this creation is only going to be successful if you look to others and their opinions also. Otherwise, when you're standing on your own, man on his own is kulo sheker. If man stands alone, he's kulo sheker, because he only sees himself. And that's fundamental to the argument in favor of creating man. It's not a message that could wait for later. That as long as you don't put man on his own, he won't be kulo sheker. When man knows that he's got to consult with other people, when he has to hear other people, see what they're saying, what they're concerned about, what their ideas are, then he won't be kulo sheker anymore. When Emes argued that man is kulo sheker, Emes was right. Of course man is kulo sheker. On his own, he's kulo sheker. It doesn't mean that he's always telling lies. It doesn't mean that if you ask him what time it is, he's not going to tell you the right answer. It means his worldview is so skewed that he's kulo sheker. He lives his life looking at the world like it's a funhouse mirror where everything is off. Everything is skewed in the direction he wants it to be skewed in. Nothing is accurate. The counterpoint then is that chesed comes and argues that man engages in chesed. And when man engages in chesed, then he's no longer kulo sheker. He sees more emes. And through opening up man to chesed, what did Hashem do? Hishlich emes artza. He was able to take the argument, reject the argument of emes, by hishlich emes artza, allowing emes to exist down here in the aretz, down here on earth, through man himself. Man becomes the ambassador of emes, if he's a proper bal chesed. That's what the ketzos means. Man on his own is incongruous with Torah's emes, doesn't fit. But when a person is nosei ba'ol, when he sees things through the perspective of other people and he makes efforts to truly understand other people and what's bothering them, what's hurting them, then he'll be perfectly receptive to Torah's emes. Now there's, of all of the things we're trying to decipher this week, and there's a lot that we're trying to decipher, and all the emotions we're trying to work through, and all of the questions in hashkafa and in halacha and in life and everything that we're trying to figure out, you know, part of the discussion has to be about when this happened, right? That this happened on Simchas Torah, on the day that we celebrate the completion of the Torah and we mark the beginning of the learning of Torah. I spoke in Lawrence a couple of nights ago. I mentioned that Rav Tversky said what I think is a very important thought, that not in this context, he mentioned a few years ago, that when the Rambam talks about a Shvil HaZahav, I think I maybe mentioned this to the other day, when the Rambam talks about a Shvil HaZahav, people think what the Rambam means by that is, don't be extreme, don't be too much this or too much that. Rav Tversky, he says, I asked him after, he said, I have a lot of rayas that this is true. The Rambam does not mean that. What he means is that a person has to simultaneously incorporate both extremes into his personality. Don't be too much that and not too much that. If you're going to be too much in this direction, also be too much in that direction. I mean, if you're going to be extreme in one direction, meaning lamashal, the Rambam gives the example, a person shouldn't be like a stone that doesn't feel anything. A person also shouldn't be like someone who feels everything on Mach 10 and like everything is like, and goes nuts about everything. So what does that mean? You should just be kind of parv about everything? Just be like, you know, someone insults you, they don't invite you to their wedding or something, they'll be like, I'm mildly insulted. You know, like, no, it means like, when that happens, don't be insulted at all. But when something, you know, when there's a bizayin to cover the Torah or something, be very insulted. Meaning incorporate both extremes simultaneously. And like, that idea resonated with me this week a lot. Because, you know, there are two types of media that you've seen this week. Two primary types. There's the horrific, horrifying, terror-inducing, anger-inducing, you know, avelus-inducing types of media. And then there's the pride, the love, the chayalim dancing, and the charedim giving food and doing things, everyone coming together and all that. And you feel them both, and you're supposed to feel them both. In America, we don't get as much of the second one, because we don't even know what that means and how important that is, and we didn't experience what Israel was 2 weeks ago, so we don't feel that as much in America as we perhaps should. But maybe the message to take out of the completion of a Torah Emes and the beginning of a Torah Emes is that look what Klal Yisrael, how Klal Yisrael is primed to receive the Torah, to start the Torah anew. We've proven our credibility over the course of this past week in being able to start a Torah Emes, in being able to learn the Torah Emes. Because again, it's beyond the Nosei Ba'ol, beyond Nosei Ba'ol and Chaveru, it's everything. It's an absolute sense of connection. You know, this guy in my shul who he's donated a lot of money to a lot of different things. He's a gevir, whatever. So he happens to be a physician. He was in Israel for Pesach. I'm for Sukkot, and he didn't come home. He just checked into a went into a hospital. What can I do? And he's running the anesthesia unit in one of the hospitals or whatever. Because how could I leave? How could I? No se ba'ol. He's really, he's feeding us entirely displaced communities. The government has given them hotels. Okay, they're giving them a hotel to stay. They have nothing else. Nothing else right now. Eventually they'll get compensated by the government probably, but they have nothing else right now. So just arranging for food for these things, this is the amount of money that are being, we should do it carefully, but the amounts of money that are being dropped in order to support Eretz Yisrael, in order to support Achenu B'nai Yisrael, it's something that should be inspiring, even as it doesn't diminish from the terror, the fear, the anxiety, the Eis Tzara Shabo, not even an iota. You have to be able to incorporate both extremes simultaneously. You have to be able to incorporate an intense feeling of comfort and simcha and pride in the way Klal Yisrael behaves, and realizing that that's what prepares us for a Torah Emes, that's what enables us to learn a Torah Emes, and yet at the same time still feel all of that avelus in all of its terror, in all of its in its full with the full fright that involves, and an understanding of what an Eis Tzara is. And that's the avod of a Jew. It's not easy to be a Jew always. Sometimes it's a challenge. We think of it as a challenge. In Shemir Samitzos and this and that, it's a challenge emotionally. But that's the call of the day, to feel these things in a very, very strong form.